You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in another edition of Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, Mark King. Another fantastic guest, a regular, if you will, on the show, Omari Sankofa from The Athletic with us today as a kind of a bonus episode. I've already done one episode today. I'm recording my second episode in one day. We were going to do this episode on Wednesday. We had literally lined it up for 10 o'clock to record, but Chandler Parsons had other plans and the Grizzlies ended up doing a lot of stuff, so we decided to postpone. But either way, Omari's with me now. What's going on, man?
It's going well, man. It's been a crazy week for the Grizzlies, which makes it a crazy week for myself and everybody else who covers the team. But, it's been an interesting week and curious to see how they close this out.
Yeah, they're still going to have – I mean, they still have moves to go. I'm curious to, get your thoughts. What do you think the front office has done so far this? I mean, you have, I guess you're a little bit different than the fact that this is your first year in Memphis, so you have not a whole lot to compare it to first year coming to NBA. What do you think the front office has done as far as the last 2 months have been concerned for them?
I think it's been very, very smart. Even just my short time here, I accepted the job last October. We've seen last season even how the previous front office led by Chris Wallace had a tendency to chase short-term games over long-term success. We saw that with the Justin Holiday trade where they traded him and two second-round picks for him, I should say.
Right.
Which, was a trade people that weren't very high on back then, and in hindsight looks even worse considering they were not a playoff team. They've shown this new front office a desire to recoup the assets that were lost under the previous front office, but also gain additional assets on top of that. They've gained so far 3 first-round picks from the Mike Conley trade, one of which became Brandon Clark, and then, of course, they have protected pick from Utah and additional pick on top of that they got from Golden State. They have a lot of one-year deals that will open up a lot of cap space next year, and many of those deals could be turned into additional assets. As you mentioned, they moved on from Chandler Parsons. They got 2 expiring deals in return, so curious to see what they do as far as with that. And then the trade where they traded Kyle Korver, who was probably not going to return anyway, and Javon Carter, and you get Josh Jackson, D'Anthony Melton, and 2 second-round picks in return. It's just another great trade. And it's just a very smart process that they've kind of gone about where they've prioritized flexibility pretty much over anything else. They've gotten a lot of one-year deals in return, and these are assets that could be reflipped into additional assets. So it's just very smart, very forward-thinking.
Right.
Obviously, they're very far from being done with this process, given how big the roster is right now. But I'm a big fan of what they've done, and for a team that's undergoing a rebuild, it's very smart planning.
Yeah, they set themselves up, and it's a lot of little stuff. It's a lot of stuff that doesn't stand out to you right away. The things that they do, some protections on picks, and that's something that this front office has never done. This franchise has never done. And so I think that's it's a bit crazy that I know that fans and the Grizzlies are celebrating competence, but it is a weird thing, but it's true. It's just the way this franchise has never operated like that. But you mentioned Josh Jackson. What's up with Josh Jackson? I know you had an article with someone that covers his Suns. What's up with Josh Jackson? Do you think he can turn it around, Memphis? What do you think?
It's really tough to project how he'll look on the current roster. He's a former number one pick. You go back, you read about what people said about him when Phoenix took him. People had, fairly high expectations for him. He came out of Kansas, as a guy who was extremely athletic, really good size at 6'8", with a good wingspan, and, just pretty good shot creator. He had some holes in his game, as the vast majority of NBA rookies do, but he kind of had a really good tool set to work with, and he just hasn't done anything with it. He's
right.
Been very inefficient offensively. He hasn't been a great passer. He hasn't been a great rebounder. He hasn't been a great defender. you look across the league and you have people, you know, people cover the league. There's skepticism that he'll ever become a good NBA player. The Grizzlies, you know, they have a year to evaluate that fit. They have to figure out what they're going to do with him as far as the 2020-21 season by October, meaning that, you know, you'll have essentially training camp and maybe some summer league if he plays the summer league, which I do not know if he will, to evaluate how he fits. But I think, you know, given that he comes into a situation in Memphis where he will not have high expectations, the spotlight next season obviously will be on Jaren Jackson Jr. and John Morant, and, you know, by assumption is that the ball will mostly be in their hands. Josh Jackson can come in as a, you know, like low as a, you know, 6th, 7th option. You know, this is a guy who
right.
was, I think, in the between 50 and 60 overall in the NBA last year at usage rate. You know, he had to use his rate of a mid to high level starter, and he wasn't that at all. So he comes into a situation in Memphis where they're not going to need him to do much. It's going to be low expectations, probably fairly low usage. If he could just come in next season and defend at a moderately high level, you know, play some cleanup basketball, you know, be a good lob target to Ja, and you know, and just take high percentage shots, you know, more of the mid range jumpers that he seems to like a lot. You know, work on your jump shot, work on your 3-ball. And finish at the rim, you know, I think there's some reasonable expectation that he can be a better player. Simply just by taking more efficient shots and not having the ball in his hands as much, I think he could be a better player than he was the past 2 years. You know, he's got some things he needs to work on. He's gotten into some legal trouble. You know, there's a lot to kind of, you know, look at and digest there. But, you know, if you're just taking a one-year flyer on a former, you know, top four pick and you're trying to figure out his NBA role, and if he's an NBA player, you know, I think the risk here is pretty minimal for Memphis. So definitely curious to see one, if they pick up his team option going into the 2020-21 season, and two, how to utilize him, and if they can maybe unlock some parts of his game that he couldn't do in Phoenix for whatever reason.
Do you care about the off the court stuff? I mean, I know we all care if he's getting his 5-month-old daughter hot. It's terrible, so we all care about that. But I mean, as far as like, do you think it matters? Do you think it's influential to Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr.? Do you care about that part of it all?
I think it matters to a degree. You know, the three things that, you know, I think are noteworthy with him legally. One, he missed a team autograph session and got fined for that, which,
right.
You know, it's not good. I guess in the grand scheme, I don't know if that's a red flag. I mean, you know, I don't know the circumstances that led
to it. It's a bad look, though. It's a shitty thing to do.
It's a bad look. Yeah, it's absolutely a bad look. You know, two, he, you know, he was at Rolling Loud, I think, last summer, and he tried to sneak into the VIP section and got arrested right. for doing it, which, I mean, it's really dumb. You shouldn't do that. You know, I don't
you
know
should,
if he just
you
thought.
You should have the money to get into the VIP section anyway. You're a millionaire. You just pay for it.
Yeah, you know, like, maybe he missed the deadline, or maybe he just thought, well, I'm Josh Jackson. I could just walk in. You know, I don't know what that was about. You know, he's 22. I guess he was 21 when he did that. I mean, you know, maybe that's just some dumb 21-year-old thing. I really don't know. You know, but one thing people brought up a lot was the situation where his, you know, the mother of his child, who is 19 years his senior, accused him of smoking weed near his infant daughter and, you know, getting her high. You know, like, that was an accusation. It's not something that he was charged for. You know, I'm not going to, you know, sit here and pretend that I'm extremely well-versed in the background on that, you know, because obviously,
right.
you know, it appeared to be more of a he said, she said type of deal, more so than, you know, something he was actually, you know, brought in for a charge for, you know, and whatnot. You know, at this point, it's more of an allegation. So when
sure.
evaluating him, you know, I guess it's tough for me to find a line as far as, you know, do you hold this against him, you know, not knowing for a fact that this is something that happened? You know, I don't know personally, but, you know, of the three things that he's gotten in trouble for, that's certainly the most serious, but also the one that's kind of toughest to prove. Like, you know, like he was arrested for sneaking in a Rolling Loud, and obviously he wasn't at the autograph session, and we could say those two things with, you know, certainty, and those things also in the grand scheme probably aren't as serious. So,
right.
Still in the process of figuring out, you know, what to do with that third one, simply because it's not something that he was actually charged for.
Well, the opportunity cost of Josh Jackson is Kyle Korver, who you were going to waive if you didn't trade him anyway. So, you know, the reality is it was nothing. And so, like you mentioned previously, You get a free look at him. You don't like him. He's no good. Bad for the locker room. You don't pick him up. Pick up your option, and you walk away. And that's pretty much it. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk with more with Amari Sankofa of The Athletic after the break. Welcome back to the show. Talking about Josh Jackson before, and again, like I said, the opportunity cost for that is pretty low. But they have done other things that have been intriguing. But every move they make, they're getting more and more roster spots. Obviously, that's a big point of contention is the amount of people they have on the roster. But the other thing is they still have nothing to have done nothing with DeLon Wright, because I'm sure that there are a lot of dominoes of Kawhi Leonard waiting to fall. Once those fall, so other people make that decision. But have you heard anything about DeLon Wright other than what we've seen on Twitter? Do you have any insight of what the market for DeLon Wright could be?
No, I think at this point, you know, like you said, it's more so the team is waiting for the fallout of the Kawhi Leonard situation, because there are teams with cap space who, you know, are just who don't want to use that cap space, obviously, you know, with a free agent or two still on the market. Right. So once that domino falls, I think we'll see a lot more movement just in the NBA as a whole, and the Grizzlies will be able to hopefully resolve some of this roster conflict. But obviously, to bring DeLon Wright back, the Grizzlies are also going to have to make some roster room, since they're over right now. So there are some other dominoes that need to fall, but the first domino, obviously, is Kawhi Leonard making a decision. So,
and what's your sense on Avery Bradley? Do you think he'll? I mean, I think I've said on the show a lot that I think he'll be waived, but what is your sense on that?
I don't see a path for Avery Bradley returning. There's just too much money that can be saved by parting ways with him. They can save very close to $10 million, or actually close to $11 million by parting ways with him. As the total salary for the team currently stands, they only have a little bit of breathing room under the luxury line, and they'll get further under as they make roster decisions. But with Kyle Korver out, by parting ways with him, they could have saved some salary. And since all of Josh Jackson's salary is guaranteed, they no longer have that avenue. So the fact that you can save $11 million by parting ways with Avery Bradley and open up a roster spot, to me, is just a complete no-brainer. You know, if they brought Avery Bradley back, it would require them to, you know, make some other moves and part with some other guys who are younger and have more upside. And it's tough for me to see them doing that when they can save more money just by parting ways with Avery Bradley. So I would say of everybody who is currently on the roster, you know, I think they probably have the easiest path to parting ways with him.
The other non-guaranteed deal, and I was on the radio this morning at Sports 56, and they asked me this, and I thought it was an interesting conversation, is Ivan Rabb. And he's a guy that has had opportunity. What path do you see, if any, for Ivan Rabb going forward with the Grizzlies?
I think with Ivan Rabb, I like Ivan Rabb as a player. I like his potential. He's a strong rebounder, and he's shown some flashes of being a pretty solid passer and developing his three-point shot, which I think for him would be a major, major key, given that he's not really a post player.
Right.
You know, I think
if he could shoot the three, that would change his game just drastically.
Shooting the three would absolutely, I think, increase his value as a player a lot. And in a perfect world, the Grizzlies would be able to bring him back, give him another year to show that that's a part of his game that he can greatly expand. You know, he hit a three-pointer in the opening summer league game in Utah a few days ago. And, you know, something that he showed some comfort with in the G League last season as well. So, you know, the seeds of him being a decent three-point shooter are already there to some degree. It's just tough, you know, like he's a partially guaranteed guy like Avery Bradley. And they also have two non-guaranteed guys in Bruno Caboclo and Dylan Brooks. And I think of the four, I think Dylan being a 6'6 wing, who's a good defender and also a good three-point shooter, you know, is probably the most valuable guy. And then Bruno Caboclo, you know, showing progress with his three-pointer last season, just being an extremely long-arm defender. I think you just look at the ceiling for a guy like Caboclo, who really impressed people last season. Yeah, you definitely want to keep him in. So, you know, at first look, it looks like Ivan Rabb may be sort of the odd guy out, you know, when looking at him, Caboclo and Dylan Brooks. You know, plus it's just there's some guys on the roster that are just like it will be tougher to part ways with. They just traded Chandler Parsons for Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee, which, you know, those are two more guaranteed deals. Maybe you can reach a buyout with one or both of them or include them in a different trade. But if you're unable to, you know, that's just guaranteed salary that comes off the books next season, and you still need to open up roster spots to keep some other guys. So it definitely puts Ivan Rabb in more of a tough situation compared to where he was a week ago.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It is a roster crunch, and it seems like he very well might get squeezed out. The second one, Rick, will come back and finish up with Amari Sankofa of The Athletic. Welcome back to the show, talking with Amari Sankofa of The Athletic, our regular guest on the show. You mentioned the trades for Chandler Parsons, Miles Plumlee, and Solomon Hill, all a basically neutral trade. What are your thoughts on either of those two guys actually making it to the season as a Grizzly?
I think Miles Plumlee fills more of a hole as a backup center, given that, you know, I think at this point it's safe to reasonably assume that Joakim Noah would not be back. And they do need a backup center, you know, behind Valanciunas. You know, I think we'll see Duren play some five next season, but you still need a third guy. So, you know, he fills a hole there, you know, like at his salary, which he's making, you know, I believe $12 million or actually $12.5 million next season. That's a lot of money for a third big. And, you know, he was one of those guys that kind of cashed in a few years back and hasn't quite lived up to the deal. But he does fill a hole. As for Solomon Hill,
right?
He kind of built a reputation as a shooter a few summers ago, and he just has not lived up to that at all. He has not been a good offensive player. If you could part with one guy, I guess it would probably be Solomon Hill. You know, just because they do have a lot of forwards at this point, and it's tough to see him getting as much playing time. You know, with that said, you know, they're both two guys who are making similar amounts of salary. And I guess either way it goes, if you can part ways with one in the buyout and save a decent amount of money, it kind of accomplishes the same end because they're probably not going to be high usage guys regardless, even Plumlee, who feels more of a need. So in that regard, it's a bit of a wash, but I think ultimately neither of these guys will be major factors next season. Just looking at the roster as it is now, I think there's probably 11 or 12 guys that, you know, we can reasonably expect to, you know, get solid playing time, you know, probably not even that many. So it's more of just
right.
They needed to part ways with Chandler Parsons, and this was, I guess, the most straightforward path to doing it. So this is more of a let's just wash our hands of the Chandler Parsons error and move on type of deal.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I said this, like, if Miles Plumlee's on the roster, he'll just be sitting on the bench all year. Like, that's really what it is. Like, Miles Plumlee's not very good at basketball. I mean, he's okay, but it's not like a guy you're going to be able to get positive assets for if you tried to trade him or anything like that. Last thing I'll talk to you about is obviously Andre Iguodala was able to be traded here. He's probably never going to step foot in Memphis. There's obviously you've seen the debate, the buyout, not buyout, do you trade him? We both know they're going to try to trade him before they ever try to buy him out. If they do try to trade him, do you think they'll be able to get positive? Like, do you think you'll be able to go get another second round pick, first round pick for Andre Iguodala at this stage? Like, is there any other team in the NBA you think would be useful or he would be useful to?
You know, it's interesting. I think the Lakers would love to have him. The Lakers don't really have assets to give up at this point since they kind of went all in on, you know, giving up assets to bring Anthony Davis in. You know, I don't believe they have a realistic first-round pick that they could give to Memphis. I don't know their second-round pick situation off the top of my head. Obviously, if we were able to get a second-round pick or two for him, I think that would be pretty solid, and they could just absorb him right into their cap. Right. Beyond that, you know, you look across the league, there's only so many teams with cap space at this point. And I wouldn't expect a big return on Iguodala, you know, since he is 35, and, you know, he isn't a guy who's a 30-minute-a-night guy anymore, even an 82-game-a-season guy, you know, just because he's been in the league for so long. If the Grizzlies could get any value in return for him, I think that would be good. But, you know, I kind of floated this on Twitter a couple of days ago, and you know, I'm not saying that they shouldn't try to trade him, because they absolutely should, and they are trying to. But if it does, but if you don't get a good return on a trade and they decide ultimately to just buy him out, that's not the worst thing in the world. They got a first round pick out of the deal, and that's already a win for them. So they don't need to get something in return for Iggy for that trade to be a success. It's already a success regardless of what happens. They do need to open up roster space to you know, bring some of the young guys back, and that's a situation I think has to resolve. You know, I don't know how Iggy feels about being in Memphis, but given that he's just been to 5 straight finals and, you know, is 35, you know, I don't think it's a hot take that he would probably prefer to be in a situation where he could compete for a playoff spot.
Right.
You know, and I'm also just not quite as high on, you know, we need Iggy, or the Grizzlies need Iggy in Memphis for his veteran leadership and mentorship. Like, that's value, but you don't need to pay $17 million for that. You already have vets on the roster who can approximate that. You know, so I think it's a situation where if both sides part ways and reach a buyout, it's fine. It's fine. I don't think it's worth, you know, any vitriol toward Iggy or any over analysis. You know, sometimes a player and a team parts ways will make sense for both sides, and that's that. You don't have to get an asset back in every single scenario.
Yeah, I mean, you can get veteran leadership in locker room for veterans minimum.
exactly.
But yeah, it's interesting to know what's going to happen with Iggy. And if they somehow finesse another second round pick out of it, and you can get a first round pick and a second round pick for just being a stopping, you know, just being a way to get to move Andre Iguodala around the league, you can't. That's a win. Like you mentioned, it's already a win. And so if you get anything else, it's just more to add on to it. So Amari, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for stopping by and talking with me about the Grizzlies. Again, Amari Sankofa of The Athletic. If you've not already subscribed to The Athletic, make sure you go and do so. It's super cheap. You won't even notice it come out of your bank account. Amari and Peter Edmondson are covering the Grizzlies over there for The Athletic, and they do a fantastic job. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.